Good afternoon, everyone. This is Dr. Sola Hong, the coordinator of the Student Center for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. Thanks for listening to our Diversity Podcast Season 3. For this episode, it's my great pleasure to have Dr. Catherine Clement and Dr. Kate Larson from the Department of Psychology to share their insights and experience as we recognize and talk about LGBTQ+ awareness issues on campus.
So what does your typical day look like being a professor of psychology at Bemidji State University? Are you teaching any courses and or is there any like research project that you're working on?
Well, so my day looks maybe a little bit more atypical at current. But usually after I get my kiddos off to school, I'm spending the day checking in on classes, revising content, checking assignments. I mean, I suppose during COVID times, it's a little bit different, but typically it would be focused on teaching classes and responding to day-to-day student needs. And I tend to save up pockets of time to work on bigger projects. Right now, with everything, just squeezing as much work into a day as I can, I find myself working at like for 2 or 3 hours at a time in the evening. And that's when I tend to be able to focus. Dr. K would attest to that. It's when Catherine's getting notifications that I'm active in our teams. And as you know, as are they, replying right away. And one of the projects that Dr. K and I are working on together is to establish the Northwoods Queer Outreach. So much of my additional time is spent working on that content and thinking about next steps. And really, I would say most days, most of my time for work is spent on checking in on those classes and making sure that they're going okay for our online students. I'm a faculty member who believes in a quick reply. And so I want them to get an answer immediately. And so it just means I'm constantly on call. So
how about you, Catherine?
Yeah, I feel that the on-callness, I feel as though I am a lot busier now, although I figured I would have more time because I'm not commuting. Okay, so my commute was like 5 minutes maybe, so that's not a big deal. But I think it's also, I figured, well, I'm working from home, so I have all of this extra time, so I can just say yes to things. So I'm teaching 4 classes, including human sexuality, which has synchronous sessions almost every time that it's scheduled, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And then I also have had four students interested in the research that I'm doing. So I have research assistants now, each working on different projects. So my research has really picked up, which was unexpected. I tend to go in fits and spurts with that as well. But now I feel like I have to, do things for that. I'm involved in the Faculty Senate and the Executive Committee. So I have those obligations in addition to checking in on my classes, grading, working on the Northwoods Queer Outreach. Right now I'm working on collating all of the results from the student needs survey and writing that manuscript. So I have a problem with saying no to things, and as well as not volunteering for things. And that's where I'm at.
So how long for each of you have been working at BSU then?
So I have been working at BSU, this is my 8th year. So I started fall 2013.
Yeah, this is my 4th year, started in fall of 2017.
And then how long have you been the advisor for our Phoenix Club?
So Dr. Larson has been longer than I have. I hope I didn't come across as like creepy, but my first year here, I just started showing up to meetings to get to know the other queer and trans students and other, I'm not a student, obviously. And so I just wanted to just like be present and hear what was happening on campus, hear their perspectives, and just be there before I sort of inserted myself. I didn't want to come from an outsider perspective to be like, oh, I went to school in Chicago, I know how things happen. I didn't want to be that. So I just wanted to listen. And I think I became co-advisor the next year. I think I have lost all sense of time. I feel like that's how it happened. But my first year, I was just listening.
And I think I just had looked this up and was surprised that it wasn't longer. And I don't know if that's just in that when I first started, students from the Phoenix had reached out to me because I was at that point teaching human sexuality. And so I had a fair number of Phoenix students who were taking classes with me and was invited to meetings and would go and listen. And at that point they were holding their meetings and their advisor wasn't present, though there was a different person officially identified as their advisor. And so I think I formally was brought on maybe spring 2015 or maybe even the next year. But before then had been asked to help moderate panels. Members of the Phoenix at that point were doing a lot of student gender and sexuality diversity panels. And I don't know if that was driven by students or by their advisor, but the students were also then in charge of providing trainings and they were interested in knowing what I thought about that as somebody who was teaching content related to gender and sexuality. And so, although I maybe it has only been say 4 years, it feels like it's been just a little bit longer just because of the informal sort of consulting or checking in that I was doing to help support those students wherever I could, so.
So that probably would be the reason for you to be the advisor for the organization, right?
To advise for the Phoenix or the?
To advise for the Phoenix.
Yeah, yeah. They had then asked me officially and I, you know, earned the title.
Yeah, I feel like it worked out similarly. I showed up and I wanted to show that I was there for support in however that looked. And then I almost said it was like being asked to prom, but I never was asked to go to prom, so I don't know what that's like. But It was very meaningful to be asked to be a co-advisor, and that made me feel really good.
And regarding the duties as the advisor for the Phoenix, so would you please talk more about it? So is there like any daily task that you need to do or like weekly assignments or whatnot regarding that?
Yeah, I would say that early on in the process, the students in the Phoenix were sort of fresh off of kind of losing space on campus. There was a shift or a change in leadership. I don't know if suddenly things in Student Senate had just sort of taken a turn for those students, and they felt like there weren't fellow students who were listening, and they felt like administration or leadership somewhere in the union. So I think all of this is happening before any folks who are currently in that spot were in those spots. And so just to clarify, but I think at early on as advisor, my role looked a lot more active than it is right now. And I think part of that was that it seemed there weren't many folks who were advocating for those students across campus. And there were a lot of situations where it felt like there was a significant amount of pressure or weight on the students' shoulders. And so in hearing that, I thought, well, that doesn't seem right. And so so if they are wanting me to come with to help as a faculty advisor, I'm happy to do that. So early on, I think there were more meetings that I was attending with them or things that I was emailing on their behalf. I, as advisor, have had the opportunity to, I guess, the fortunate opportunity to support students who are having to complete like a 1B1 report, because they were experiencing discrimination. And that is just in my short little time as being advisor. And so I think now, obviously with COVID, it's quite different. I think that there used to be a lot of attending meetings weekly and mm-hmm. a lot more interaction. But I think that since students are kind of split from campus, it also means that there just aren't as many daily things that I'm helping students to do. And at the same time, and then I'll let Dr. K talk. At the same time, I feel like our intention in the students in the Phoenix were really a strong voice in working to create the CDEI. And we're really pushing hard to make sure that we had someone in your role, Solars, to make sure that, you know, we have other supports in place and mechanisms to lend support for students of all diversities. And then also Dr. K and I really want the Northwoods Queer Outreach to serve as an additional support structure so that our students sure. in the Phoenix can be students. And then maybe our role as advisor is more to help with a social club instead of helping that club to be social and advocate and counselor and, you know, hearing of all grievances. You know, we're wanting to sort of make sure that they've got space to be college students and mm-hmm. then we can be supports in other ways.
Yeah, I echo everything Dr. Larson said. I think one of the fun things about being an advisor is the opportunity to go to some really fun events, like the drag show that was yep. on campus once upon a time. I think that was like, wasn't that January? It's ridiculous. Yeah. It was this year, I think.
Yeah.
And wow, like, what is time? Kate's right. With the pandemic, things have shifted so much. We've also had a turnover. There's membership in the Phoenix has turned over as folks have graduated mm-hmm. And moved on to leadership roles in other positions, so they can't take on leadership roles in the Phoenix anymore. And I think that's great because there should be room and turnover and different directions for the group to go in. So that's wonderful to see different voices speaking up. I would love for, and I'm seeing this more since I've been here, seeing the Phoenix connect with other student organizations like the Black Student Union, Council mm-hmm. of Indian Students. And I would love for that work to continue. I think that's about it.
And have you like encountered any challenge on campus as being an ally for the underrepresented group, or actually having part of your identity as a person from an underrepresented group?
Well, I do try to be an ally for our Black, Indigenous, and other students of color to challenge ideas of white supremacy and the systemic oppression that they live with daily. As a both trans and queer person myself, being out on campus is a very intentional choice for me, both as a person to live an authentic life and be a whole person mm-hmm. in my job, but also as a I don't want to be like a queer icon or some kind of like representative that I've self-selected into, but representation is important. And I think for a lot of our students across campus, I may be the first visibly queer out trans person they meet. And so I view that as both a responsibility and also an opportunity to widen their perspective of what gender is, what it means to express our genders, the various ways that they could embrace a wider gender representation or just a broader perspective on gender as well as sexuality. I have different pronouns. I have neutral pronouns. And that is also a struggle for people to remember. So dealing with misgendering, while even if not malicious, is still hurtful and frustrating. Though I do try to give people a lot of grace because we're in a rural area. Being an out trans person is not an everyday occurrence. So I, you know, provide gentle reminders and try to approach the situation from one out of just lack of practice and maybe ignorance. Then they're intentionally doing this to be a jerk. And largely I've found, I have no negative experiences to report about it. So that's, that I feel is an excellent sign that I have support of my department, my friends and colleagues, like that's wonderful. And the students as well. Everybody's been great.
And I think that BSU as a whole has undergone a pretty positive shift, though you know, incremental in its steps. You know, in the short time that I have been at BSU, I can only recall one instance where, as an ally and as advisor for the Phoenix, and I was helping the student with the challenge that they were facing. Mm-hmm. Only one time did I have someone say to me, I want to just be careful about how much you push. And I thought, you mean to have people treated fairly? And they said, well, I mean, you know, you're not tenured yet and you haven't been promoted and you just want to be mindful, careful of how hard you're pushing and your tone and my face. I mean, you know, just like all the things that could be problematic for me. And that just sort of set me on fire in a good way, because I thought, no, I mean, if I have to be careful helping other people to be able to live how they should be able to live and be who they are and not have to hide who they are, then, I mean, then this is maybe not a spot for me. And that that didn't last long, that sentiment. And I didn't stop, and I wasn't quiet, and I continued to push, and still earn tenure, still earn promotion. And I don't know that I did it in a way that I was like intentionally ruffling feathers or causing problems for anyone, only just to say that right is right, and kindness is kindness, and people are people. And it really was just a moment of reflecting on, like, if this is the kind of space that I'm in, is this the space that I want to stay? And then what can I do in order to help to bring change so that so that no one else has that message said to them that, hey, you need to be careful about what you're standing up for. Because it was all over my PDPs, all over my professional development plans, and I'm proud of the work that has been done and that will be done. So, again, it was a blip, but still one that, you know, talking to my partner about, like, hey, is this real? Like, is this really something that is happening? And if this is what I'm experiencing as somebody who's, you know, an out ally, I can't imagine what other folks would be experiencing. So that was my one little thing. And it wasn't terribly negative, but it did leave an impression.
Mm-hmm. So, like, look back to the first day or the first month or even the first year you work here at BSU, what has been significantly changed?
I feel, and I don't know, I cannot say whether it is because times are changing or it's me or my reputation precedes me or what, but when I first got here, I encountered more resistance, maybe resistance is the best way to put it, in my human sexuality class than I do now. Mm-hmm. Resistance to the idea that there are more than two genders, that being straight is the only way to be, that you have to be monogamous in romantic and sexual relationships. So I don't know why, but it is heartening to see that students are willing to expand their previous understandings. They're willing to learn, they're willing to engage. That's always wonderful. And I mean, I love the topics that I teach, but I do teach what might be considered controversial topics for a more conservative rural region. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciate that, but I also extremely appreciate the willingness that my students have to learn and to grow and to engage with the ideas and the material that I put in front of them.
And I would agree with all of what Catherine has said, and also say that it seems like there across the university, there's been a change or a shift in a direction where the priorities that I would have or hope that the university would have are also now a part of that plan, right? Like, so the creation of the CDEI, mm-hmm. bringing Solar on board, having a diversity officer that's not also wearing 40 other hats, having faculty members, not just psych, not just faculty members who teach human sexuality, or faculty members who teach multicultural, whatever it might be, like that a lot of faculty are working to cultivate a more diverse perspective on lots of topics and not just one area. Now, I think we do a great job in psychology in doing that, but I don't think there are efforts across the university and in student affairs and in admin. And I think that is pretty awesome. I came to BSU when we had a different president and we had a different provost. In fact, I think I've had 3 or 4 provosts. I've had 6 or 7 different deans since I've been at BSU. And so, you know, that's a lot of change.
Right.
And there've also been a fair number of retirements, like across all areas. So folks mm-hmm. who've been teaching for, 20, 30, 40 years now have retired. And so it's bringing in just lots of new and different perspectives and people from all over. And that is, that's pretty awesome. So I think just in general, the university is showing a great sort of evolution or change. And in addition to students, because I think it's also mirrored or echoed, whatever you would say, in students also, so.
So what do you think of the need of recognizing and celebrating Transgender Awareness Week on campus in this month, and especially under the current circumstance due to the pandemic? And how do you see your role in it?
So with Transgender Awareness Week, I think it's important for us to remember that even though there are advances and, you know, the Supreme Court case in June, Bostock v. Clayton County, which affirmed that sexual identity and gender identity are protected under the Civil Rights Act, which was not how I expected that decision to go. And I was very excited about it. But we also have to keep in mind that under the present administration at the national level, not our college, there are still plenty of ways that trans folks are in danger. The trans military ban, the push for bathroom bills, the Title IX changes out of the Department of Education. I mean, I literally could talk for hours about how dangerous this administration has been for trans folks. And just even before this president was elected, under President Obama, trans women are, particularly trans women of color, still being murdered at an obscenely high rate. It's shameful the way that our country at large approaches trans folks and dehumanizes them. And we're also sort of infected by whatever is happening over in Britain. The sort of rabid anti-trans sentiment across the pond does permeate our country as well. Luckily not as badly, but still pretty bad. So I think, first of all, it's important to celebrate weeks like Transgender Awareness Week or Pride Month or Black History Month, Native American Heritage Month, because we don't have parity yet. We don't have equality or equity. There are systemic issues that these groups face on a daily basis that we need to address before we can think about, well, everybody's the same. You know, hashtag all lives matter. Well, right now we also have to recognize that trans folks are dying, trans folks are losing their jobs, their housing, et cetera. So it's important to recognize that trans folks exist. They're not monsters, they're not predators. They're usually pretty boring, usually pretty geeky. The ones that I know are giant nerds. So they're just like everyone else.
So I, yes, ditto to what Catherine said. I also think that given our location, right? So not that this is a, you know, like an advertisement for NQO, but given that BSU is in a spot where there aren't a significant number of trans resources, right? We find ourselves located in like a trans resource desert. I mean, there's just not a lot of publicly known resources or support or acknowledgments that are happening just sort of in the area. And I think that we at Bemidji State University could do a better job of helping through Trans Awareness Week, but also through a month long, each every other week, every day, in sharing stories and sharing information and sharing how to's when it comes to writing letters where you're using alternative pronouns. I mean, just doing more to help in modeling that this is just is like it just is like it does. It's not bizarre. It's not atypical. It just is. These are human beings, and we need to be responding to human beings as such. And let's have BSU, through the work of the Phoenix and the CDEI and the student body and student senate and NQO, and the work of our new diversity officer, like let's all come together to just help in modeling all of these behaviors that we're expecting of our students and of our faculty in order to help empower them, right? Because I do feel like there are a fair number of allies on campus, virtually, but on campus. Yeah. And I would say that quite a few folks are just not sure how to give that support. Like, so they're maybe not intentionally being hurtful, but I feel like during Trans Awareness Week, we could give folks a resource or a tool or a way to show that support more overtly in order to be able to help to bring change, right? Like, I mean, not that we want it to be just a week, but if this is a week where we're highlighting these positive behaviors and these ways of engaging or these stories, then I think that I mean, we hear it over and over again, right? Like the way to reduce stigma and the way to reduce hate is to know, right? Yep. We can change it by knowing. Mm-hmm. And everyone is upset until they know someone who has it, right? Like all the disbelievers with COVID are disbelievers until they have it. And then all of a sudden they're like, holy moly, this thing that people have been wearing masks for, like it's real. Like, yes, it is. And the same here, right? Like most folks aren't sure until they have a family member. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, so you're just like the same? Like, okay. Like, let's just figure out a way to get those stories out there without exploiting, right? Like I don't want to exploit, but I do think it's important for folks who have agreed to share their story. Like, let's figure out a way to thoughtfully engage and share that information. Sorry. get a little
I know the pandemic is like, yeah. I feel you. And regarding the bigger picture of enhancing the diversity awareness in higher education in general and in the future, how can we improve as an institution?
Well, I think we are going in a pretty good direction right now. I think that Dr. Hensrud's support, both explicit and implicit support for pushing against the systemic oppression that higher education embodies, really, and providing support for creating and developing resources and supporting students and our colleagues of color, particularly our Black and Indigenous colleagues and students. I think that is just excellent. She is really doing an excellent job leading. I think that, as Kate mentioned earlier, there's also just so many different things that are being done across campus, in the classroom, with different student organizations, staff. I mean, just really, we have some just amazing colleagues who are working in their own sphere to push, to influence, to make this campus proverbially or physically safer, more hospitable, more accessible to our students who belong to marginalized groups. I think we have to keep going. I think we have to challenge the assumptions that we have that are built on whiteness, and so many things about academia are intrinsically tied to whiteness. Just, you know, the Protestant work ethic, the whole division of labor, the types of labor that we do, the expectations we have around gender and just like literally everything we have to challenge. And we have to work to make education accessible. The pandemic is only going to make the economy worse, and higher education will continue to be defunded by our legislatures. Like, that's a trend that's going to continue. So we have to work within more constraints to do more, but I think that it's necessary work. And I think if we, and when I say we right now, I'm referring to white folks, if we can continue to push and work toward Black liberation, Indigenous liberation, mm-hmm. we're gonna bring along a lot of other folks, including ourselves. I mean, I do think that liberation for all is tied to liberation for Black and Indigenous folks. And yeah, I just think we have to keep going, keep challenging our assumptions and our beliefs, and striving to do the right thing.
Yes. Yes, all of those things. The only piece that I would add is I think the university has come a long way in the modeling, right? I think starting with President Hensrud and just sort of sweeping through, like, in administration and faculty and then students, like, I feel like the community, like, we're showing things that we won't tolerate and making that public, like, mm-hmm. and we're not waiting months to address things. And I think that that quick action is showing the behavior, right? So it's one thing to talk about it and to say that these things are important, but then to actually put that into action, I think it is also where BSU is start. I mean, we're doing more of that. It's not like these are our 17 principles on how we're going to address that. And then we'll slowly be making changes. It's like, these are the things that we believe in, and this is how we're going to do it. And these are the things we've already done. And I think, as Catherine said, just continue to push forward in that regard. And to be not just a model of, like, how to be okay at this, but like a shining example of how to treat folks the way that they need to be treated and the way that we should be treating everyone. And I would just add that I think that it's important that sometimes Sometimes it seems like when, and I'll speak for me, when I have felt like it's important to be vocal as an ally for folks who are queer and trans, I feel like other persons perceive that to mean that I'm saying that that's more important than other whatever, right? The other causes or other individuals. And it is not meant to be an either or an other. It's meant to be an all. Like, so it's a yes and. So yes, we need to have better supports for, and we need to help folks who are Black and folks who are Indigenous, and also, right? Like it's not just this or that. It needs to be sort of helping in all regards, and not to fight for resources and not to fight for helping folks to be their best self and to live how they're wanting to be. But just to make sure that that our message isn't to take away from someone else, right? Mm-hmm. Like I am wanting to make sure that it's clear that it isn't just for folks who are queer and trans. That's not just the reason we're starting NQO, but for all, just to make sure that we have all those perspectives. Anyway. Yeah.
And it's also important to keep in mind that being queer or being trans doesn't mean you're not any other identity. Yeah. So there are plenty of Black folks, plenty of Indigenous folks, disabled folks who are themselves Black and Indigenous or other people of color. So yes, we can't take the reductive single group, single identity at a time approach. We have to be intersectional.
Right. So by far during your time at BSU, what would you regard as your best experience then? Or would there be any like inspiring part of your job as a faculty and also as an advisor for Phoenix?
Okay, so this seems so ridiculous, but I was so, like, I was moved to tears to find out that I was advisor of the year in my role as Phoenix advisor. Like that meant so much to me because it meant so much to my lovely students who are in the Phoenix. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that was more important than tenure and more important than anything else. I mean, getting the gift of getting to work with Dr. K every day is incredible. And also to be able to work with the students in the Phoenix, but to have a public acknowledgement and have the name be read and have it be the Phoenix and have folks wonder like, ooh, what is that? If they didn't know what the Phoenix was. Mm-hmm. And to be a part of that just meant a lot to me in like a sentimental way, and not because I won, you know, because it's an honor to be nominated. But it just really was a touching moment. And the students who had nominated me were with me there. And I just really, I can picture them at the table and I can picture the day. And that really just meant a lot to me. So because of the acknowledgement and the spotlight that it brought to our students. So.
I would say, if mine is more low key, it's observing changes in attitudes or perspectives this sounds more grandiose than I mean it to be, but seeing the effect that I have, that we have, that whatever experiences the students have on campus, seeing what effect that has on them. And as a really salient example, I had an online student who since graduated and went into a master's program, and the student contacted me and told me that their master's thesis was on suicidality in the trans community, and told me that the courses that they took with me were really impactful to the point that they were interested in doing this research. And like, what? That is amazing. Like I was having a rough time in class after the election, and one of my students emailed me to tell me about an Oklahoman politician, non-binary politician who was elected. And like the connections that I make with my students and the care that they give me and that we exchange is just really, that is Like, I can't believe I get paid to do this job. It is like the best job. It is so wonderful. I can't imagine doing anything else.
Awesome. And so what would be your one piece of advice for inspiring LGBTQ plus students or students who want to be an ally for the LGBTQ plus community?
I would, and speaking to just the folks who are queer, trans, or questioning, I'm not sure, find a support network, whatever that looks like. There's lots of folks online in different spaces online, lots of resources online that you can explore and think, lots of great YouTube videos. Reach out to people you think would be safe. And also, you don't owe anybody to come out. Like, you're not obligated to disclose your identity or that you're not sure, that you're questioning. No one has a right to know that. So even if you are currently living in a space where your exploration or your non-straight, non-cis identity would not be welcome, you don't owe that to anyone. So first of all, don't feel bad for not coming out. But just be as true to yourself and as authentic as you can be while being safe. Unfortunately, I feel the need to caveat that. And to the extent you want to, and this is even for cis people too, like your gender doesn't have to match with what society tells you it is. That doesn't mean you're trans. That means that you have a different gender expression. Totally fine. You don't have to be totally sure of everything. Maybe you want to experiment a little bit. Maybe you, quote, go back to realizing that you're straight. Also fine. So find support. Find folks who will validate who you are, your authentic self, and it is okay to stealth and it's okay to be in the closet until you are safe to come out. Like, please don't feel pressured to come out.
Mm-hmm. And I'll add the ally piece of it. I would just encourage and empower all allies, whatever space they're in, to just gently to thoughtfully consider how powerful even a gentle pushback is, right? So a reminder of pronouns, a reminder of just validating a person, even if you think, well, they already know that I care for them. I mean, of course they know. Maybe they don't. And so to show gratitude and compassion and kindness, and find ways to gently push back against all of the hate that folks in your world who are queer and trans are likely experiencing. Like, if you really want to be an ally, then be that safe space and, you know, think of ways that you can show that support to them and show that support outwardly. And I think, unfortunately, there are some allies who face a lot of judgment as somebody who's giving support. And so do so in a way that's safe. And if you're looking for suggestions, you know, ask. Like, we're happy to help empower you to be an ally. And we're happy to help to figure out strategies to, you know, push back. And those are things like speaking up when some stupid, thoughtless joke is said, to speak up when someone's pronouns are not being respected, to step in when you see something hurtful or hateful happening, and to do so in a way that is, again, of course, safe for that person. But it is going to take all of us to figure out how to gently change and push back against these waves of hate that come. And again, folks in your world might assume that they know that you support them and that you care for them. It doesn't hurt to say it again out loud and to be bold in the way that you're saying it, right? Just to let them know that you care and that you're here for them or there for them, or, you know, that you are around in order to do that. So that would be my message to allies. Be bolder in your care.
Awesome. And Is there any plan do you have, or is there anything you expect to achieve a year from now? So hopefully we can come back around the same time next year to do another podcast, reflect on it.
Well, we'd love to see even more funding support for our NQO, see that actually coming into its own, making connections in the community and providing education and training on campus and off. Another thing that I would love to see is for some of our trans-related research to get funded as well. We are putting together a grant to start exploring transgender health experiences. So how are medical providers being trained in trans health issues, and what are the experiences of trans patients with healthcare providers? So that would be wonderful to get funded so we could do that research.
And I'm hoping that a year from now, if folks are saying NQO, they know what that means in the area, so that there isn't a void, there isn't this space where we're not sure where to turn if we have questions or are in need of resources or training or support. I'm hoping that our web space can be a dynamic sort of central location for all folks. So maybe allies are looking for ways to give support. I'm not quite sure how this part happens, but Dr. K and I both would really love to somehow have money to be able to support trans and queer students who are in a tight financial situation, whether it be for medical attention or for books or clothing or heating or food or whatever it might be. So I would love a year from now to have a better idea of how we'd be able to do that and provide that kind of support for our students. Because, you know, giving emotional support is one thing, but to be able to say, look, we've got this, we've got this resource, and we could give this amount to be able to give you support. And I feel like that would be just a meaningful space to be in a year from now, maybe a big reach, but, you know, who knows?
Right. Awesome. So thank you both so very much for doing the podcast with me.